Pints in the Corner is a music history podcast about the Channel Club in Boston, Mass. Dinky Dawson and Tony Rain are your hosts. They interview channel performers and workers, bringing out stories and memories of the great music and events that came through this iconic South Boston venue.
Welcome to Two Pints in the Corner with Tony Rain and Dinky Dawson. Tony is down the Cape. He called me on Wednesday. First time I've heard from him for a long time. And he sounded pretty good. It wasn't fantastic, but it sounded like he was on the right track, even though he'd had another issue. And the 17th is going to be going in his own flat, as we call it. You call it apartments. And it's okay because he couldn't play his records where he was before. Now he just wants he can tell he's getting a little bit better when he's doing that kind of stuff.
Great news. Better soon, Tony. We miss you, buddy.
And just one thing before we start again with Adam. He wanted to say this to everyone. Thank you for thinking of him. And he much appreciate it from every one of you guys for doing this with Sean. And lots of good stuff here. So here we go. This is Two Pints in a Corner with Tony Rain and Dinky Dawson. Sean is with us doing this again, and he's right into this with Adam. And Adam has got a lot of stuff that I remember. His stories were fantastic, and that's why we want to continue with Adam from that time period, because it's unbelievably enlightening what happened in Boston and what happened in New York at that time period. It was wonderful. So there you go, Sean. Go for it, kiddo.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Dinky. And again, yeah, definitely to echo all of our thoughts with Tony getting better. We miss him. He's got some big shoes to fill here, and I'm happy to try and do my part, and definitely like to get his expertise back on here whenever he's able to. So, yeah, we're welcoming back Adam Sherman today. We do episode 2. We did quite a bit of talking in our first episode. We ended up running out of time, so we figured he definitely merits a second go-through. So hopefully you heard the first interview before you listen to this. But if not, just as a quick kind of an overview here, you know, I consider Adam another one of those kind of Boston music lifers. He's been in it for as long as he's been around. A couple of breaks here and there. He did front Private Lightning and the Souls, which is more with the channel stuff we typically talk about in the podcast here. But, you know, like so many, got a little bit disillusioned with the music industry. Took a break for about 10 years, did some painting in his mother's footsteps, which she did for a while, and he kind of caught the jazz bug during that painting period of his life, particularly with Chet Baker, again, more focused on that kind of stuff and writing some new styles of music and performing out live again for the first time in quite a while. So we will go back to that time. We're going to kind of skip the earlier part. We talked about that in the first episode for the most part. But I do want to get back into this more current era. Adam, during the pandemic, we had a big issue. Obviously, people couldn't perform live. You couldn't go see shows. You couldn't perform shows. A lot of folks kind of go with the idea of doing like online concerts or online songwriting or online collaborations with other friends. And that kind of spawned a thing called the Back Porch Carousel, which I'd like to spend a little bit of time on that, if you don't mind.
Sure. Well, you know, that was a crazy period. We had to try and figure out what was going to happen. We didn't know whether clubs were even going to continue.
Right.
So we started out by actually Larry Dersch, great drummer Larry Dersch, had the idea of having a Zoom cocktail party with a few people. And he invited people. And it was myself, Linda Viennes, Randy Black, and Sarah Levesque, and Peter Zarkadis.
Wow.
And Larry, of course. And
that's a pretty good start.
Yeah. We got together on Zoom. You know, and it was really the darkest days of the pandemic. You couldn't hang with people. It was crazy. If you recall, you know, it's easy to kind of package that whole thing up and just put it away. But boy, at that time, this was really like oxygen to just be able to hang with these people. And we got together and we had, you know, one quote unquote cocktail party. And in the course of that evening, we started to talk about, wouldn't it be cool to do, you know, something? And this evolved, which is essentially a song circle streamed on Facebook. And each one of us would perform from our own home, from our own home studio, perform a few songs. We would talk together between songs. We could talk together like on Zoom, but you can't play music together on Zoom. So anyway, it spawned this solo songwriters song circle. And we loved it, and we got better and better. Larry was very involved in the technical streaming issues, and we got very good at presenting this show, and we did it monthly. I think it was at least monthly. And it was quite wonderful. And since then, we have gone on to do some live performances as the whole group. Yeah.
That's a great thing, too. Remember that coming out of the pandemic, you know, it seems like eons ago, right? But what, it was 6 years ago, 5-6 years ago. But it was like there was no avenue to get live music, really. I mean, you know, then people started figuring out, you know what, maybe do some stuff live online through Zoom and whatnot. And it was really a respite for anybody who's like music starved to kind of just tune into your Facebook. And, you know, one of the good things is social media actually worked for a good thing at that point. And it was just nice to see and hear people, you know, collaborating and working and hearing songs live, just seeing people live on, even though it was on computer, it was awesome. And like you said, after that, when things kind of started to break out a bit and you could have outdoor events and, you know, spacing between where you sat and all that. I went to one of the shows you guys did outdoors at the that outdoor pavilion. I forget what it's called, but it's right off of Sterlefield Road and Soldier Field Road, I'm sorry, in Brighton. And it was a really cool outdoor amphitheater. And it was just awesome to see everybody live on stage. There must have been at least 10 or 15 of you guys rotating through. And it was just a lot of fun to get everybody back together and see people in a live environment. And that was just a great thing to have happen. That was quite a thing at the time. We all needed it, I think, very much.
Yeah, we certainly needed it, boy.
And so that kind of got you more back into the folk tradition, I suppose. And then I want to also talk about a couple other, you know, not to leapfrog over too much stuff here, but at one point, fairly recent, you ended up collaborating with Robin Lane. Talk about that a little bit, if you don't mind.
Mm. Well, Robin Lane and I became friends. We met. She was opening for the Nervous Eaters that I did a few years with. And we became friends and communicated over, you know, email, and began sending each other demos of stuff. And one thing led to another, and I had the opportunity to go into the studio with Ken Field producing again. Ken Field produced my first solo CD, and this was, you know, about my fourth release, I think. It was an EP called Nowhere But Here. And Robin and I were doing some gigs together, and I invited her to sing harmonies on three of the songs that made it onto that four-song EP.
Very cool.
Oh, that's nice.
What is the timeline on that, Adam? What year is that?
It's relatively recently. I'm going to look at the thing, but I'm going to have to put glasses on, I think.
Cause all right. I'm trying to think back. I know we talked about, I think your first, you know, solo release was to 2018 in River of Dreams, right? And then I know in 2021, yeah, they released Triangle Sky, and I think Robin was probably a little bit after that, I'm guessing.
This is 2025.
Okay, cool. And you happened to mention during that little speech there that you also did a little bit of a stint with the Nervous Eaters, another legendary Boston band, of course, and we actually have to get those guys on one of these interviews soon, hopefully with Steve and see if we get them on board here. But another band that played the channel quite a bit, you were obviously in the later stages, you played with them for, I think you said a few years, and you ended up recording some of your own songs, right, with those guys?
Yeah, which was kind of crazy. And it's what it is. Steve invited me to do three of my tunes that we did over the course of the 2.5 to 3 years that I was with those guys. So that was, it was pretty strange and kind of honorable to be invited to. I don't think Steve has ever had anybody else write. I could be wrong about that, but
I think you're probably right, Adam. In fact, I was going to say that, you know, Steve is one of the most prolific and well-known and well-thought of songwriters, I think, ever in the Boston music scene. I mean, you know, he's still writing today, but I think it probably took a lot, you know, for him to have someone else come in and have their, you know, put their little stamp. I mean, obviously, the players in the band are great, but as far as like having actual input to new songs and whatnot in your own songs, and I think you recorded, I think, two albums with them as well, did you?
Yes.
Wow.
Excellent. So it's just kind of funny, this whole, like, you know, we talked about in the last time, this whole, like, serendipitous connection and a thread from way back. You happen to see Willie Lopez Alexander his first band he's playing in New York, and you're a teenager, and first show you see, and then, you know, later on we're talking about Lou Reed and how he took Lou Reed's place, and then, you know, Dinky worked with Lou Reed, and then it's like that PBS show that we mentioned on the island that was, you know, instrumental to your kind of seeing these live bands and all that, and that, you know, Dinky ended up being involved with that show as well. It's just kind of funny now, hey, you are working with, you know, Steve later on with the Eaters, and it's just like, wow, what an amazing ride it's been. And Robin Lane, to, you know, just the so many people you come across over the years and worked with, collaborated with.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So take us to the current day then. So after that, after the Eaters, now you're back doing more of your own stuff. We did, I think we mentioned it last time, you have had a residency at the Plow and Stars in Cambridge on Mass Ave for quite a while. Let's talk about that if you don't mind.
Sure. I had coveted a residency at the Plow for many years. I've always thought of it as, it's like the real deal, I think.
Yeah.
If you can sort of hang in the fabric of the Plow and make music and win over the audience there, you've done something seriously good. And so, I mean, I was hanging around the Plow for years, and was always talking, and Jim Theory booked it and had booked it for quite some time. And I was, you know, just always saying to him, hey, man, you know, someday maybe I could get in there. And right after the pandemic, right towards the end of, I mean, in other words, when live music was beginning to happen again, he just said, you know, would you be interested in a Sunday afternoon thing? And I was like, yeah, you know, fuck yeah. And I just started playing there with my guitar on Sunday afternoons, and did that for a few months. Then I think the next thing that happened was Larry Dersch, again, you know, he keeps popping up in my life. Great drummer, extraordinary drummer, Larry Dersch.
Yep.
Plays with Roger Miller and the Trinary System, and with Randy Black and the Heathcroppers, with Emily Grogan. I mean, he's an extraordinary drummer. So he just said to me one day, hey, what if I play drums with just you and your guitar? And I was like, yeah, okay, let's do that. So we did that for a month or two. And then I had a friend, a cellist, and we added a cello. And whatever the case is, we over the years have changed partners and changed bandmates and so forth. And I now have this great monthly residency that I've built, this really tight, fabulous band with Peter Hoffman on guitar and Jeff Song on bass and Chris Michael, and Kelly Knapp from the Bristles sings with us. and, awesome. And you know, is recorded on the newest release, the newest album, which is Sorrows and Smiles, which came out in February. And in my mind, because I have to keep flogging it, I think it's still new. And I'm going to continue to treat it like a new album for another month or two.
No, absolutely. And I want to make sure we spend some time on that as well. I think that's probably the beauty of the whole Plow thing, right? It's kind of like you have a forum to basically paint whatever kind of picture you want for the couple, 3 hours you're there on a Sunday. And it's, you know, between doing some of your solo stuff, you know, all the different players you mentioned who are Boston, you know, well-known in the Boston area, professional players and their own projects and multiple other projects. But, you know, having this kind of a rotating cast of people, you have your base band essentially, right? But you and are all great, but you're also adding these different players to come in and join, whether it's a song or two or do something original or whatever. It's just become a really kind of a fun vibe and a fun scene. And I would definitely encourage anybody in the area that's not been by the Plow. It's a very small little Irish pub in Cambridge on Mass Ave, but it's not too far out of Harvard Square. But if you're in the area, I mean, maybe it holds 100 people, maybe? I'm not sure. There's probably about 15.
Oh, no, I think it's less than that.
You're probably right. Yeah. But it's cool. It's compact. No one's like bumping into each other. It's a cool scene, a respectable scene. People enjoy the music. You can still go in the corner and have a chat, but it's also about appreciating the music going on. You know, we pass the hat, you put a few bucks in, and then, you know, we all have an enjoyable time, meet friends, and go on from there. So, no, it's a great thing. I recommend it. Is it every third Sunday, Adam? I forget.
That's correct. Every third Sunday, 4 to 6.
4 to 6, and it's been happening for like over 3 years now. So that's a nice – I'm glad you got in there finally. It's a great little scene, and I encourage people to stop by for sure. So let's talk about that, your latest record then. So Sorrows and Smiles came out in February, which is, I would certainly consider a new release still, right? So let's talk a little bit about that project.
Sure. I felt that it was time for an album. You know, it's a world out there where you just keep putting out singles and stuff. But I wanted to release a collection. I had... Oh, about a year ago, met Brian Charles, who has opened a studio that is about 5 blocks away from my house. And it's just the most wonderful, beautiful studio. It's called Rare Signals. And Brian was good enough to invite me to the studio to take a look at it. I played him a bunch of demos. He said, you know, your demos are great. I think I can bring something to this and take these up another notch or two in terms of their goodness. And, so we embarked on an album project. I think we did 10 sessions. We ended up with exactly 8 tunes, and that's exactly what's on the album. I didn't try and muster up something else to put on there. I just decided I was going to release it as a body of work. It's very much where I want to be musically. It's this juncture of folk and rock. With a little soul in there, and and the songs are all generally personal. Some are sad, some are. One of them is considered a protest song. Everyday Dangers has been cited as a protest song, and I think it's a really solid collection of personal songs.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I kind of agree with the tag of the protest song, right? It's obviously, we're living in pretty insane times right now. And I know that you have been one of the guests on the Which Side Are You On musical teach-outs, which have been happening at the Burn over in Davis Square, Somerville, every once a month for the past, it's been a year now, which is pretty incredible. So, but you've also been on there a couple of times, right? You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Well, I mean, just by chance, I was invited, along with Robin Lane. We had written a song called Shock and Awe, And I'm not sure exactly how they found out about it, but they invited us as a kind of a team to play at the very first Which Side. We did it. It was great. The song went over really well. And that was kind of the moment for that song, because after a little while, it wasn't Shock and Awe anymore. We were completely in fucking Numbsville with the world. So,
yeah.
Whatever the case is, I am, as far as I know, the only guest vocalist that has been on twice so far. They invited me back to do Everyday Dangers. So I feel pretty honored to have that distinction.
That's great. It is a great event. Again, if those people haven't heard about it yet, it's go on Facebook, go online, you'll find it. It's Which Side Are You On? It's really like James Sullivan from the Globe and Joyce Linehan, Boston music scenes to forever. I used to work in the Marty Walsh's government in Boston City Hall. They've kind of been the leaders of this thing. And it's a kind of pay as you want. You can pay $5, $10, $20, and it helps pay. If there's a backing band called the Paid Protest, so I definitely want to make sure we mention there's a lot of great players from the Boston scene who basically come in and they back up people like Adam and they do an awesome job. But that's every month. They have it usually on the Tuesday night or Wednesday night. They did start off at the Wizard Lounge over in Cambridge. Now it's kind of grown to the Burn, and honestly, it's kind of outgrown the Burn. But the Burn is a really cool scene vibe, 100-ish capacity place, again, in Davis Square, where, every month they bring in a few guest performers, and it kind of runs the gamut, rap, hip-hop, rock, soul, funk, everything. And it's kind of a great way, acoustic stuff and it's a great way to see some new blood in the Boston music scene as well. Some Berkeley kids and just local performers like Adam and the Bags have been there, the Dogmatics. It's a really cool scene. Look into that if you can. And that's enough of the plug for those guys, right? So that kind of gets, I guess, it's the current day. I mean, you've been doing the vocal lesson teaching for at least, I think, 15 years now.
That's right, yeah.
I think that, and if anybody wants to contact you for that, Adam, what's the best way?
If you type my name in and put voice after it, you'll get my voice lessons. I have a nice website, and I appreciate it when people communicate through the website, because it means they've kind of spent a minute looking at stuff. Yeah.
Give us the other website address again, Adam.
Say it again.
I'm sorry. Give us your website address again for people who are listening.
I believe it's adamshermanvoice.com.
Okay. All right. I think you had Adam, was Adam Sherman Music as well? Hold on.
Adam Sherman Music is my, my music website.
Gotcha. So that's kind of the find out what you've been up to lately, where you're doing these days, adamshermanmusic.com, Adam Sherman Music. If you want to look at more into vocal teaching and lessons and whatnot, all right, well, I guess kind of in the current day here. So I think we talked last time. You should be pretty happy and content where you're at right now in the your life of music, so to speak. I know you like this mix of the folk and rock and soul thing that's going on, and that's kind of, I think you kind of found your spot. Are you pretty comfortable with that, you think? That's a good way to say it.
Well, I feel like I'm comfortable with the work that I'm doing now. I mean, I feel like it's a good place. I always am kind of uncomfortable with the word comfortable. I try and write every day. I mean, in other words, I try to get to it every day. I write pretty consistently, and I'm always making demos, and I'm always trying to push ahead musically. We just started playing at Sally O'Brien's. We had a very, very good gig there the other night. And the deal at Sally O'Brien's is people want to dance there because there's a big dance floor. And so that's currently on my mind. I'm wanting to write some stuff that is good and danceable. So I got one song left that we actually did at this last gig that's really working, really, really good dance tune. And then a second tune that's a slow dance tune, like a really soulful, bluesy, slow dance tune. Anyway, so I'm always trying to challenge myself in some way to produce stuff that's fresh.
That's probably a better word to use than comfortable. Challenging. You always want to challenge yourself. That never changes. Like I said, you've been pretty much writing for almost your entire life. I'm just curious, is the Sally O'Brien, is that going to be another kind of residency thing where you come to play there once in maybe, a couple, 3 months or so? Is the plan?
We hope so, yeah. I mean, that's what it's looking like.
Excellent. If people want to find out about that, do we look under, is it Adam Sherman Band, or how are you advertising those shows just so people can watch out for it?
Well, they're always listed on my website. I'm on Facebook, I'm Adam M. Sherman, and that actually is the best and most up-to-date listing. Is on my personal profile, Adam M. Sherman. There is a band profile for Adam Sherman Band and on, again, Facebook. And that will, I keep that relatively up to date, but Facebook kind of doesn't really treat that page very well. So I mostly do stuff on my personal page.
Very cool. And I actually just happened, I saw you did a post actually this morning for a clip from maybe it's an outtake from a song called Greyhound. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, this I see Greyhound, I think I personally am attached to the song. Let's put it that way. I think it's a strong song. And I thought it was going to get, you never know with this shit. I thought that it was going to like cause a stir. I thought people were going to pay more attention to it. And very, very slowly, people are sort of coming forward and falling in love with the song. But it's happening in slow motion, man. And so I it feels to me like I'm flogging the song. But I think I'm just putting it out there, So I was trying to think of ways to do it, and I just thought, what if you made a little video of you just playing it acoustic? So that I stuck that online today. And then Brett Milano wrote in a comment that he was going to make Greyhound his personal anthem. And I thought, I gotta quote that, So I asked him, can I do it? And he said, absolutely. So the promo for the next plow, I have his quote up there and a photo of a bunch of greyhounds. But, I think it's a great song. It is about, a dog, but it is also about it's about chasing your dreams and about being careful what you wish for, just being careful and sort of assessing like what it is, what am I chasing here? What am I running after? And I think it's a great song. So I'm just going to keep putting it out there until I feel like it's just pathetic, so.
No, it's like your work of art. It's your babies, right? This is what you pour your heart into, and it's important to you. Put it on a record, it means something, right? So, and that song, just so people know, it can be found on your latest record, the Sorrows and Smiles record. It came out a few months ago. And it's also on Bandcamp. Right. Is it physical copies as well, Adam? Can you buy it at the shows or anything, or is it all online pretty much?
There are physical CDs, no vinyl. Vinyl's too expensive for my taste, but I did go ahead with CDs. I sold out the first batch, so life is good.
Absolutely.
Yep.
the people have spoken. They want more. That's great. Good for you.
I like that. I like that.
So, yeah, we may not be, we're not going to make, this won't go live before your January 19th show, but so look for people, look for Adam in August at The Plow. You'll hear some of the newer songs, I'm sure, if his record is always some interesting collaborations and fun at The Plow. Anything else you want to say, Adam, though, as far as, before we wrap up, anything you generally want to make a comment about?
Well, let's get the Sally O'Brien's return date, which we didn't really talk about. We got invited back that night, you know, we did good. So we're going back on Saturday, August 29th.
Perfect. Perfect.
Saturday, August 29th, we'll be back at Sally O'Brien's in Union Square, Somerville. It's a great club. It's good for dancing. They have a sound man, and, you know, it's a great place to hear music.
Yeah, it is a good scene over there, and the food's pretty good, too. It's a good hang. It's not expensive, and it's, like you said, there's a nice side stage for the most part. You can jam in there. If you're walking by the club, you'll have the drummer right to your face. It's a kind of tight spot, but it works. The stage is there, and big dance floor. You can hang out with a table if you want or sit at the bar. But, okay, that's good to know. August, Saturday the 29th of August. So my guess is that you're probably playing the Sunday prior to that at The Plow. I'm just trying to, my head, I'm trying to work a calendar in my head here. It must be like,
it's either the one prior to it or the one 2 weeks before it. It's going to be interesting to see how this dovetailing works, but I'm hoping that it's a positive thing, you know, that we can actually grow our following.
I think you're up to the challenge, buddy. I think it's good to be busy. It's good to have to worry about those kind of things, about keeping it fresh, right? It just keeps you on top of your game as well. That's all.
That's right.
What's wrong with that? Dinky, anything you want to say before you wrap up with Adam here?
Well, I'm just happy to hear this information from you guys because you sort it out. It's just a great sound, a great feeling. Just to sit kick back for me and listen to you and Adam work because it just flows. And Adam, you've done amazing stuff and you're still at it. That's what's got me going, especially writing with friends as well and having all that information about different venues and different this, that and the other that actually still let us play music, you know, because there's not that many that really still do. And the Burn has been a godsend for this town at one point, and then now with this new one that I've just heard of for you guys, I think it's wonderful. I think what you're doing, Adam, is very creative and very together, you know. And you've been doing that a long, long time, and it just comes out in little bits and bits in here that I hear. And when you did like the soul, you could feel the feeling coming off that stage from you. You know, it's just each environment that you do, each kind of sound that you put in because of a certain band you're in, works. But because of the combination of adding that little touch called soul and that, then you can go one way with a morbid soul, you can go the other way with an upbeat soul that really brings you together, and you've been doing that, which is so creative. Yeah. And that, you know, I would say, Adam, you gotta keep playing as much as you can live and have fun with the live, with the friends that's coming to you, you know, and just keep at it. I mean, that's what my feeling is about the whole thing. And Sean is the one that kicks everybody's butt to get stuff doing. You know, he's got all these people running around and playing different shows from the old school to all the newer school. But it's all Boston. It's all all the quality of the musicians that came from Boston, whatever era, whatever happened. And now with some new ones that's coming along, you're going, this is interesting. I see this guy. Let me have him see if he can come and play with me here for a minute. And then you get into another mindset, especially if you're writing. You know, you get the other vibe, and then all of a sudden you're writing something. Where did that come from? It's because of the new vibe that you just got in there. You know? And that's what totally. Sean likes. He loves all these different kinds of sounds and stuff. And that's why he has the group called Sam Black Church, and they have the whole same thing, the different sounds, and yet one hardcore And, you know, everybody puts a genre into music. You've covered all of them in certain songs. You don't have one particular genre. You have all these different genres and styles into one song, which actually really you've worked, especially like with people like Robin. She's into that too, you know, and with that, there's some emotion comes out. Always with the women, it comes out of you, not just the lady, but of you. And my bottom line is, Sean, is that you just keep going with Sean and people like Sean that can make these things happen in other venues and this, that, and the other, and open the door in certain places and have them on bills that they put on there, because it's the Boston scene is still there underneath everything. And I'm glad that Sean's been on top of it, and you and many people that he's already talked with on this podcast, which is from the old podcast, the old stream of stuff, to the new stream of stuff. It's been wonderful, and it's still going to be wonderful, because I'm hearing about other people that's going to be coming on to talk and that really want to come on the podcast to talk about their experiences at the channel and beyond. And you're doing the same thing and beyond. And that's the beauty of it, is that you've picked up on every genre in town, every club, every this, that, and the other, from the 70s all the way up through the 80s. And it's covered in through the 90s. And you've got a nice little team around you. So that's what gets me, Adam. I really got that. And I like that. Anyway, I'll leave the rest to Sean, because we're getting ready to run out the door because of England. No, I'm not.
World Cup's coming up. Yeah, Adam, I'll let you respond before we close up.
Well, I thank you, Dinky. That it warms my heart to hear you say all of that. I just thank you. That's all I really have to say, Sean.
Oh, you're welcome. You've got something going, and you've got a lot of wonderful people around you to tap on, and to create with, and you've got us a lot who respect that very much. And Sean's the last one in town that will do all this stuff backwards.
I don't know about me so much. I just want to say to Adam, I mean, you know, this is about the channel mostly, but we obviously, you know, Adam's career goes over and beyond that. And, you know, it's kind of crazy to think you've been literally doing music for 50 years or so, Adam, which is, you know, just that in itself is awesome. I think I think we're just lucky that so many people from that, you know, we always kind of look back, well, back in my day, but honestly, the Boston music scene in the 80s to me is like, you know, I don't imagine it being any better than what it was at that time, but it's great to see that people like you from that era are still active and vital and writing music and performing and still doing what you love. And I think, you know, to Dinky's point, do it as long as you can, man. Just, it keeps us young, I think, and it keeps us vital and keeps us tied into what's going on in the world. And you know, all that. And another part, just a personal thing, I'd like to also say thank you as well. Another channel tie. And John Boy Franklin, as we all know, is a photographer of the channel, worked there for years. And Adam was nice enough to join. We did a benefit in John Boy's memory a couple of years back at Paradise. And Adam's one of the first guys to reach out to. And he came along right away and joined and did a few songs. And so I want to thank you for that as well, Adam, and for doing that for us. That was great.
Well, you're totally welcome. That was, you know, again, it was a beautiful benefit. And, you know, the intent was really, I think, deep in the hearts of a lot of people. Yeah. So it was wonderful to be invited. So thank you.
My pleasure. Dinky, I'll let you wrap it up, buddy. And again, Adam, thanks for making the time for us today, Adam. And anybody listening, go back and listen to episode one as well and hear both of Adam's episodes with us. And make sure you check out his website and keep an eye out for the live shows at The Plow and Sally O's and who knows where else in Orlando.
Cool.
There we go. Well, another one has come to be with a wonderful, talented artist and a good talk. really good one. And I want to thank you again. Thank you, Adam, for all these last two events that we've just done. And just keep up the good work. And this is Two Pints in a Corner, closing out.